Jerry Spence is a legendary American trial lawyer. He's been practicing law since 1952, known for going after corporate giants, namely Ford and General Motors, and systems of power that, although meant to protect basic rights, often end up victimizing innocent Americans. He gained notoriety in his defense of Karen Silkwood, Randy Weaver, and Imelda Marcos, among many others. His new book is Police State: How America's Cops Get Away with Murder. The book is published by St. Martin's Press, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jerry Spence back to the roundtable. Jerry, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
Very nice to have you here. What led you to want to write this book, especially during the time that we're living through?
Well, what we find out is, you know, one day I wake up to the proposition that I have never, not in my entire life, in over 60 years in the courtroom, been in a case in which the police didn't misconduct themselves. But I you know, you just go on and forget it, and you say, well, maybe. And then one day, it comes to you that the police have been doing this from the beginning of time, and that something is wrong with the system. And I for one, can speak to that because I've been a trial lawyer for 60 years, which is older than most people are. So that's kind of what I did. I began to look at this. I began to put together some of the cases that I thought would be interesting to people, including the case of Imelda Marcos, Randy Weaver at Ruby Ridge, and some of the other cases. And that's how the book took its birth.
How much confidence should we have in the policing of our communities and of our country? Obviously, it's needed. So how much confidence should we have in that institution?
I think that we shouldn't have any confidence, and that's a sad, sad statement for me to make. Let me amend it just a little bit. If you happen to be a member of the upper class, if you have power, if you are in that high echelon, you will say, why, the police, they're just fine. I haven't anything to hide from the police. And you are probably better off than most. But if you are a black person, a minority, a poor person living in the ghettos without name, without reputation, without power, without connections, I can assure you that you have absolutely, almost absolutely no rights under our system.
As you said, you've been practicing law a long time. So have you seen it get worse, or has it always been bad?
Thanks for that question, Joe. I am guilty of having not thought about this much, and as I said in the beginning. But as I began to look at older cases and my experience over these years, nothing changes. Nothing has changed. And the question becomes, what is going on here? Why hasn't it gotten worse? Why hasn't it gotten better? Why is it always the same, which is just plain bad for ordinary little people? And the answer is, you want to hear the answer?
Yes, sir.
The reason that it hasn't gotten any different over the years is because of the way we choose our police officers. We let them choose themselves. Now, let me ask you a question. What kind of a person do you think wants to be a police officer? The first, you know, kind of with our heads up in the clouds answer is, oh, well, those nice people out there who want to risk their lives so that we can have a safe town to live in.
Right. Someone who will patrol our streets and be able to make decisions to protect us while also protecting the rights of the citizens.
But the question is why does that person choose that work? And the answer is too often that people who want to become police officers have a need to have power over the helpless. They have a need to exercise power. And the police have huge power. The police don't charge themselves. If they commit a crime, who is going to charge them? If they exercise power as they have in all of these cases that we've seen recently, starting with, I don't even know where we started with.
We have Ferguson, we have Baltimore.
The big publicity started with Ferguson, and of course, it went through a series of cases, and including the case of Freddie Gray, and now we're back to Ferguson again. And when we see this sort of conduct by police, we begin to, and it's the same thing I've seen all of these years, you understand that a person who wants to be a cop may have a perfectly good reason to be one, a perfectly honorable reason. His father may have been. It may have been that a lot of the Irish people have been in the police work for years. It's a family tradition some places, and some cops are actually very nice people. But there are too many police who are selecting that work because they need to have that power, and they shoot people, kill people, shoot them in the back. You've got all of these crimes that have gone on, and we are only touching the very few of them.
You certainly illustrate many cases in the book. You tell many stories in the book. What do you believe the answer is? What do we do about the problem?
I'm so glad you asked that question. We do have some answers, and we do need it, and we do need to change. First of all, if I had the power, I would actually, and I don't, and this won't happen, but since you asked it, I can dream, can't I? We would, instead of letting police select themselves, we would draft them like we draft people for the military. That way we'd get the fella that works in the flower shop, the nice guy that works as a carpenter, somebody else who is a school teacher, somebody else who is these people who don't want to have power to exercise over helpless people ought to be who we choose as police officers. But we're not going to have that. That isn't going to happen. I think the first thing we have to do is to understand that where there is little money, where people have little money and they have little status, there's going to be little justice, and that we need to begin to adequately train these police in a different way. First of all, let's put them back on the street. The old street cop knew the neighborhood, and the neighbors knew the street cop, and they became acquainted with each other, and they knew each other, and they knew the kids and all the rest. We need cops back on the street, not in the patrol cars, where they look at these poor folks as just strangers and have no compulsion to or hesitation to pull out their guns. We should have no more forced confessions. I mean, if we're going to have police interviewing suspects, we need to have the full interview recorded. And if they don't record the full interview, then it's subject to suspicion under the law. We need to have video cameras on every policeman all the time. And it's already been shown that video cameras on the cops reduces police crime. They don't want to be caught on their own cameras beating up people. We need to have better psychological testing for police candidates, and I don't know how that can be done. They do test them. Most big cities do test police candidates with psychological tests, but they're not successful in that. We need to have a citizens commission where citizens can go and file complaints against the police officers who misconduct themselves. Right now, if I have a complaint against somebody who killed my brother or my wife or somebody else, and I want to file a complaint, I can only file it with the police, and they protect themselves. So we need to have a citizens' commission where that can be done. That's independent of any kind of police or prosecutor influence.
I want to make the point during this interview, because you make the point often in the book, and you state it very clearly, that with all of that said, you believe we need the police.
There's no question we need police, but we need police who are employees, not our masters. We hire the police. We pay for the police. We, the taxpayers, pay the police. They are our employees, but the minute they put the badge on, they become our masters, and that has to be reversed. We need to reform the grand jury process so that grand juries, you know, are just a manipulative cover-up for getting police officers off of crimes that they've committed. They're run by the prosecutor. The procedure is secret. The individual who's charged has no, or who is being charged as a criminal, who's being charged with a crime, has no, absolutely no opportunity to cross-examine anybody. He has no representative there. If the police officer is the subject of the grand jury hearing, he is soon dismissed. The case is soon dismissed. There's nobody to stop the prosecutor from dismissing them, and they have a club of their own, the prosecutors with the cops. So it's there is no way to really control police in the present system, and they run wild and loose and kill.
Obviously, as we have this discussion, there are some people who are yelling at the radio saying, but there are good cops, as you've indicated, there are good cops out there. They're not all bad, and they're doing a very, very important job. My question to you is, what do we do to protect the good police officers? What do we do as part of this to make sure that those officers who operate in a professional manner and do the job that they're supposed to do, how do we protect them from a system that you've portrayed as very corrupt?
The good cop isn't in trouble. He doesn't need protection. The good cop, we're talking about the cops that violate the law. Those are the cops that cause trouble in our system, and they are not answerable to anybody under the current law.
How optimistic are you that things will change?
Well, there is a war going on out there now between the police and the ordinary citizen. When I say ordinary citizen, I really should say between the police and the poor, the police and the minorities. I think that eventually this matter has to come to a conclusion, and there has to be answers to it. And I've offered some answers in my book, but I think that we have to get through the horror of this first, for people as a whole in this country to understand what the problem is. When the people in this country begin to understand that there is really a problem there, when the power structure itself finally says this war has to stop, when the press finally says we got to get this business corrected, when the prosecutors say I got to get out of this club with my cops and I have to start looking at this myself, when this whole thing has finally come to the public's attention and it's on its way now, reforms will follow.
Jerry Spence's new book is Police State: How America's Cops Get Away with Murder. It is published by St. Martin's Press. Jerry Spence, it's always a great pleasure having you on the program. I thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us this morning.
Oh, thank you for your good questions.
Thank you very much. Again, Jerry Spence is the author of Police State. It is published by St. Martin's Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.